CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. We are live. It's Friday. Hooray. End of the week. You made it this far, and hopefully you are having an excellent, excellent start to your weekend. Well, the weekend. That should be enough to put a smile on your face, right? Ah, yes. You've worked hard for this, so take it. Take it with both hands. All right, a couple of things we've got to get to straight up on the first few minutes of the show. Let's get cracking. We got a couple of voice notes here from some people who were listening to the show yesterday and have a few things to say, so let's go and hop straight into those. All right, you ready? Are you ready? That's good. Is that not... Hey, kids, are you ready? Something like that. It's like a kids' TV show, isn't it? I can't remember where it comes from, but it's like hitting some kind of reminder in my head. Okay, let's take a look.
Good morning, Gareth. Beth here, and just catching up on Thursday morning show, and you saying that you're fed up of doing it. And I just wanted to let you know that, yeah, maybe you are the bad ingredient, because I know you don't want all these messages telling you how wonderful you are. And, yeah, it's true. You're not all that wonderful all the time. And maybe you should stop doing the show. Do whatever makes you happy.
Thank you. I will. That's all I'm going to say. Thank you. I will.
So, playing here. Oh, wow. Great choice of music immediately after today's venue platform. In fact, during the show, I kept on thinking that, because I'm listening via the app, I kept on thinking immediately after this, the blending platform, you should actually play Alicia Keys' hit, New York. And then you went and played Alicia Keys' We Are Here. And I'm like, okay, this is actually even more appropriate than the New York kid that I was thinking about. Good job to whoever chose the music immediately after today's blending platform. Happy Thursday, everyone. Shop, shop.
I wish we like spent more than 2 seconds thinking about what song will come up next, but we really don't. It's like we just at random hit play and then go for it. So... Don't attach too much importance to whatever music we play. It's really just it's a filler, I promise you. And we play so little music on Cliff Central now. Funny thing is, I still get emails from people like, you know, here, we've got a song. Can you please play our song? Then we have to reply to them and say, actually, we don't even play music, really. It's like a filler. We don't announce it. We don't say anything about it. So, I wonder if it makes any difference to people besides to Pihleng, but there we go. All right, so two pretty substantial messages so far. We're on a roll. Let's keep going.
Hi, Gareth. So on the topic of load shedding burnout, like, please, just, you are annoying and we are tired of you and you need to go away. Like, seriously, just give the younger ones space to take the stage, because I think it's about time. No, I'm joking. So I've been listening for about 2 years, and
I'm not.
Your podcast has actually helped me through one of the worst times in my life. But yeah, you don't need to know that. But anyway, I would just like to say, you know what, if you need to take a change in direction, one thing I've learned in life is do it. You are going to regret it. Don't stay stuck. It's so good to go out of your comfort zone. Well, anyway, I see this voice note is becoming too long, so I'm going to end it now. But have a lovely day, and thank you for all the amazing work you do. And, yeah, bye then.
Very good. Well, I was talking to my business partner yesterday, and I'm going to be taking off a little bit of time in October. So get ready for that. That's going to happen anyway. So thank you. Yes, and you know what? I'm not going to apologize for being grumpy yesterday, because the fact is, we all get grumpy, so it happens from time to time. Luckily, it doesn't stay very long with me. I think the longest I've ever stayed irritated or angry with someone is probably like 20 minutes. So I'm not even a good person to fight with, because I won't even give you the joy of like winning an argument against me or losing an argument against me, because it doesn't even last that long. After about 15, 20 minutes of being cross or grumpy or whatever, it's usually gone. So, that tends to help. That makes it a whole lot better. Let's see. Since we're doing the voice notes, let's keep going. I mean, it's also it's nice to hear people's voices. I've mentioned this before on the show. It's all good and well for us to get messages, and you know, I love reading the messages live on the show, and it's always good and welcome, and love hearing about it. But if you can send us a voice note, it's nice because then we also hear what you sound like. Tone has got a lot to do with it, which is why if someone listens to the show, they're unlikely to get nearly as upset as if they see a tweet about something we said on the show. You know, it makes sense, because people tend to read their own tone into things. Oh, he's being sarcastic, when you can hear in a voice that maybe someone isn't being sarcastic. Anyway, I'll talk a little bit in a moment about what's been going on with me and why I think I was grumpy yesterday, but I won't go into too much detail. Suffice it to say, it's not that interesting. But nonetheless, here's some more voice notes.
Hey, Gareth and team, Stefan here from Cape Town. Just want to thank you so much for your episode of Blind History. Captain Cook found it amazing. For everyone out there, give it a listen, like and subscribe. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
Awesome. All right, so that's Captain Cook.
Hello, Gareth. I'm one of the older fans of your podcast. And as a grumpy old 73 years old, none of you irritate me, not one. You're all great. Love you all. Even Damon, was ridiculously entertaining, and we should bring him back. He was great. You know, my name is Barry Jackson, and I'm a self-employed artist. I want to refer to the conversation you had with Gord about heraldry and family crests and things like that. Take a look at my family crest. I sent you an image. Some years ago, my older brother Nigel Jackson, now passed, compiled a family tree going back both sides to the early 1900s when we immigrated from Scotland and integrated with the Afrikaans people, and now I'm partly Scots, partly Afrikaans, and all South African.
Nice.
While researching this, he came up with the idea to do a family crest. So he approached me, as I have a graphic design background, and this is what we came up with. I think it works quite well. So if you want a family crest, then ask your grannies and grandpas for some family history. Put one together. It's not as hard as you think. And they look great on your personal letterhead. Bye.
All right, very nice. I just have to hasten to add here, because I have I've studied genealogy and heraldry at the South African Bureau of Heraldry, and I've worked with the South African Herald, who's a guy called Themba Mabaso. And you need to know that although you can make up your own one, it doesn't count if you do. So here's the Jackson one that he just told us about now. But he's made that up. I mean, there's like the Scottish thistle, there's this South African protea, there's a little bit of, I suppose, engineering stuff there, which is very Scottish too, and then two springboks in the front. But that's not an actual coat of arms. You need to have it registered, and it then is, it's kind of like a signature once you do it properly. So you can't just make yours up, as much as I like that one. So thank you very much for that one, Barry. I like it. It's very creative and brilliant, but it isn't really a coat of arms, and you can't use it as a letterhead legally. You can use it as a design element. You can use it as something pretty, but it's not actually your coat of arms, which you need to have registered with the Bureau. The fact is that once you have that, that coat of arms is representative of you. And there's no such thing as a family coat of arms. A coat of arms is an individual thing. So just purely as a matter of like being correct about this, you have to register your arms. You can certainly register something like that, but that thing doesn't follow any rules of heraldry. So it would probably be better that you check it out and do it properly. Anyway, nice idea. So yesterday I had quite a lot to do during the day, and I squeezed as much as I could in. I was having trouble. I mean, I've been sick for a week and a half, which you know about, which is boring, but it just wouldn't go away. And I started to have you know, those kind of visual issues that you have with migraines. When you start getting a migraine, they call it the aura. It's like where you have very patchy vision and you can't see properly and everything's a bit blurry and, you know, the lights are all very bright and all that kind of thing. And it was pretty much for the whole day yesterday and the day before, which did not help my mood at all, because I thought, oh my God, I'm definitely going blind, or this is absolutely 100% guaranteed going to be like brain cancer and I'm going to be finished, which it isn't. I mean, I haven't checked it out, but I'm pretty sure it isn't. Feeling much better this morning. Fact is, though, when something like that happens and you are debilitated in some way, because I honestly couldn't see properly. When I felt like that, I was just like, ugh, let's get rid of this. It's just something, we've got to be able to take some sort of pill to get rid of this, which obviously you can't do. And all of that combined with just not getting better quickly enough, which is very annoying. And the load shedding and everything else was like, why are we putting up with this crap? We should be in the best time of the year. And I kind of took it out yesterday on Pumi a little bit, but I took it out on you as well, which I apologize for. So I'm over it now. Better. Feeling better about things. Hopefully lots of good shit coming. And it's Friday, so I've got the whole weekend to get over things. And maybe by Monday I'll be absolutely fine again. We can only hope. All right, so that's what we've got. I see again this morning there's a little bit of load shedding that's kicked in exactly at the right time. So it's pretty much been 5 days this week that we've had the show load shed, which is, it is annoying because it means that we have, you know, connection issues. It means that the show doesn't work properly, which is all very, very frustrating and annoying. But I'm going to try and get over that and not let it bother me. So, we've got Skulk Besaidenhout coming on this morning, who is extremely funny and very, very clever and very, very funny and interesting in, you know, comedy sense, and also in a sense that this guy is, he's so busy. I mean, I see Skulk is doing TV shows, he's doing stand-up, he's doing everything that you can possibly do right now, and works damned hard. So always good to have him on. We'll also be joined by Ben in a short while, Ben Karpinski, who will be joining us a little bit later on. Carlos says, gee, I often get the vision symptoms this time of year, even went for an MRI 2 years ago. It's seasonal allergies and sinusitis. Oof. Really? Purify your air and use a saline rinse. If that's it, then wow. You're telling me that sinusitis and allergies can affect your vision? Damn, if that's true, then I'm very, very worried. Are you going through menopause, Gareth? I don't think so, but I'll be sure to let you know if there's any other change in behavior. And then somebody said that that hi, kids thing that I was doing earlier is from, what, SpongeBob? Are you ready, kids? Aye, aye, Captain. That's where it comes from. So I thought that was, it sounded familiar. There we go. Gladiators, are you ready, says Steph. Now, that's always a good greeting, first thing in the morning. Gladiators. Do you remember that show? They used to have MTN Gladiators where they'd have these people. They were wearing, like, cushioned arm pads and cushioned leg pads. And I mean, they were dressed like they were going to be beaten up with actual difficult-to-face weapons. But actually, it was just these sticks with more cushioning on them. And that was MTN Gladiators, and they'd beat each other up. But it was never really, I mean, no one ever got hurt, so it was boring. I remember that show, and we used to watch it. I suppose there was nothing else on in those days. So people used to watch whatever was on. You know, that's something that kids today are not going to have to ever think about. If you turn on the TV and there's nothing on, you just switch a couple of channels, or you download something, or you go onto YouTube, and you will find everything. You don't have to sit there and watch MTN Gladiators. Ugh, can you imagine? Congo Chris says, if you do your coat of arms with the Master Herald at Edinburgh, they send you a gold and silver leafed parchment version. Definitely worth it. Well, you're talking about the Lord Lyon, Lyon. That's the guy's actual name. And he is he's the Chief Herald of Scotland. And yeah, he sends you a proper, like, parchment. It's a scroll, and it costs you a fortune. I think it costs something like £5,000 or £6,000 the last time I checked it out. But yes, you can have that done, or you can have it by done by the College of Arms in London, which is about the same. And, you know, it has actual seals on it in wax. And, I mean, it's a nice thing to have. But certainly it proves that you are entitled to those arms. And you can use them then as a signature. So if, for example, you have a signet ring made or you have a letterhead made or anything else, that counts as your signature. You don't have to sign as well. It's a legal document then. All right. Very, very interesting. Steve says he's got no water this morning. Oh, great. Oh, that's lovely. That's really good. How fantastic. What inverter do you have? That's the question people ask each other now. It's not like what car do you drive or where do you live or, you know, what sort of, what size property do you have? Do you have borehole water? No, no, no. These days it's like, what inverter do you have? That's how you know you're special. Understandable, Gareth. I went to bed in LS and woke up to LS load shedding. That's Moonchild. Yeah, it's very annoying. It's really terrible. Skulk looks like Borat, says Onkopotse. Carl wants to know, am I still retiring? Oh, yeah, that's going to happen sooner than you think. But just wait and see. I'm not going to threaten you with it. Lisa says, the doc showed me a graph showing the spike for infections this winter compared to previous years. Our immune systems are all weakened and we're in lockdown. And now that we're back to normal, we can't fight off infection. Well, that's exactly what was told to me by the doctor I went to see last Saturday. Because I had this flu and I wasn't getting over it. And I was coughing and coughing and coughing and I thought, oh, it's going to my lungs. So I thought, let me go and get an antibiotic and get this sorted. And the doctor said to me, people are really struggling at the moment. They get sick and the problem is they're not getting better quickly. So stuff sticks around for longer. And therefore, I suppose this is exactly what could have been predicted, and many doctors did predict it, when we were sanitizing and social distancing and masking and all of that stuff that was supposed to, you know, slow the curve and make us safe, make us safe from COVID. And now all of that stuff is hitting us extra hard because we have no immune systems. I also got flu this morning. I also got flu, so irritating, says Uncle Potse. B says, I was just in hospital with meningitis. Jesus, that is awful. Only discovered with a lumbar puncture. Don't ignore a headache if it persists. Oof. Well, I remember when I was a kid, I had tick bite fever. Grew up on a farm, so we had lots of ticks running around in the veld, and you would inevitably pick one of these things up, and the dogs had ticks on them all the time, and it was just, you know, it was part of living in the country. So I remember having these unbelievable headaches from tick bite fever, and that's really all I could compare it to. And I kept thinking, maybe it's that, although, I mean, I haven't been anywhere where there'd be ticks for a long time, but it's something to think about. Now, when you mention meningitis, that must be absolutely horrendous, B. Jesus. Glad you got out. Okay, so thanks, Fauci, you tap it, says Derek Barker. Yeah, Fauci. Fauci, who, by the way, has just resigned now because he knows that the Republicans will come after him after the midterm elections when they have the majority in the House, and they will hold him responsible for all those terrible decisions. We need to hold people responsible for all these terrible decisions that have been taken during lockdown. We need to actually hold their noses to the grindstone now and say to them, okay, you guys made these decisions. Account for yourselves. And if you cannot account for yourselves and the evidence that you bring doesn't show that you made the best possible decision based on the information you had and doesn't exonerate you from looking like the power-hungry crazy that you were, and I'm talking about Dr. Fauci, I'm talking about Aaron Motsoaledi, I'm talking about Zweli Mkhize, I'm talking about Cyril Ramaphosa, frankly. All of these people need to be held to account. And by the way, speaking of Cyril, I don't know if you saw my friend Rob Hursov has been trending virally. I mentioned this to Pumi yesterday, attacking the ANC and saying that now is the time for people, good people in the ANC, to actually stand up for themselves and to stand up against the ANC and resign their posts in the ANC. Well, I don't think anyone's going to do it because between them, if you took every member of the ANC and you lined them all up, you would not find more than three out of the, I don't know, 6,000 people who are registered members of the ANC, 600,000 people, I can't remember what the number is, but you wouldn't find more than three who would be ballsy enough to actually stand up and resign. They just don't have any, not between them do they have a single pair of balls. We know that Fikile Mbalula has no balls because he had them removed on the mountain, but the rest, even less. Even less. So I'm not going to hold my breath, but I do appreciate people like Rob Hursov, who's a businessman, who's made a lot of money, whose family has made a lot of money over the years, standing up and saying, actually, guys, we've got to stop this shit. Because there's so many people in business, just go along with this. I don't want to talk too much about politics this morning, but it's been on my mind since I saw the clip yesterday. Lisa says, I've also been really sick for so long. Many people have. Yeah, there's definitely, we're weak. We're weaker than we've ever been. It's kind of terrible. Lovely Lady Nee says, lol, Granite. Granite was one of the MTN gladiators, right? Remember him? There was Granite. There was, oh, there were so many of them. There were about, but Granite's the only one whose name I can actually remember, now that I think about it. Oh, but there were about, and they were famous. These were famous people. They were like celebrities for dressing up in padded clothing and like hitting each other with padded sticks. Oh, good news. We've got Rob Hursov confirmed for the Burning Platform next week, which I'm excited about. Will Skulk Bezadenhout be wearing the jersey his grandmother made him? He'll be out here looking like a skinny Damon Calvary. Damon's name's come up twice this morning. He's obviously in the... By the way, the only reason we can't get Damon on anymore is because his wife has banned him. She's forbid him from being on the show with us. Don't ask me why, but she's just an awful person. What else can I say? I've been diagnosed with bronchitis for the first time in 61 years, says Carol. Oof. See? This is it. Now, everybody's a doctor this morning, but thank you. I appreciate this. Yonda says, Gareth, you're having early signs of sinusitis. I had mine 14 years ago, and my eyes would itch and vision blurred in the evening and early mornings. And within 5 years, it was a yearly irritation in September. Oh, no, I don't want to do this every year in September. There's got to be a way to avoid this. It's really, I mean, I've been like an invalid for 2 weeks. Honestly, last week, I think I started feeling sick on Tuesday, and beside going to the office three times, I've pretty much been at home the whole time doing nothing. I've been at home, either in bed or keeping my backside very quiet for 2 weeks, and I don't like that. I don't like just sitting around for 2 weeks. So if this is going to be a yearly thing, then I'm just going to... I'm just going to hide away. You're going to hear from me for a couple of weeks. My daughter has a persistent cough for months, and she blames the COVID vaccine. Well, I thought about that too, right? Because you know how your mind jumps around things, and I'm like, if I hadn't got that COVID vaccine, I'd probably be fine. Now, I know that doesn't make sense. I know that that doesn't make sense. But that is the different variant. That is the variable which I cannot account for. Because I don't know what was in it. Nobody does. If you think meningitis is bad, you must experience womangitis. Oh, very good. Okay, very, very good. I've just watched Rob. He was brutal. Yeah, I'm looking forward to having him on the Burning Platform next week. I think he'll be great. Okay, I love Skulk. We buy cars. He does those ads brilliantly. Yes, very nice. Boniso says, you've been saying you need a break. Take some time off and look after yourself. I'm going to. Don't worry. I'm just going to go. I'm going to up and go. And yes, we can trust everybody else who does the show with me. You know, Simpiwe and Mash and Ryan and Lebang and Pumi and everybody else. They're all very, very good at doing their jobs. I have complete faith in them to be able to hold things down while I'm away. And I will. I'll be taking some time off. Don't you worry. I don't feel guilty about leaving this show. Not even for a moment. So that's no longer going to be an issue. Sahara was hot. She passed away in her prime. Sahara, she was one of the MTN gladiators. Jeez, people have got good memories. Wow. Was she the one with the blonde hair? I cannot actually remember. And I don't want to sound like I don't give a shit, but I don't give a shit. Good people and the ANC in the same sentence, isn't that an oxymoron? Well... No, because I do think that there are some people who've been trying to help and to make it better from the inside. But they are few and far between, and maybe we must stop pretending they exist. You see, the ANC has to become so inhospitable for good people. And good people have to feel so made to feel bad inside the ANC that they just leave themselves. But again, this is pie in the sky. Let's speak to Rob next week on the Burning Platform, and we'll find out from him what he expects to happen and what we can do, what ordinary people like us can do. That would be the way to do it. Does Damon's wife exist the way you speak about her? Oh, yeah, she's a real person. In fact, here Rusty's talking about her, the elephant in the room. Yeah, that's her. Tabo says, try drops of antihistamine. Interesting. My business partner, Rena, has these eye drops which have an antihistamine in them, and she swears by them. And in fact, I've tried them once or twice, and they do work. Gareth, blame the allergy on a wisteria. Ooh, a wisteria. It's such a beautiful, beautiful flower, though. Don't worry, it doesn't bloom for long. Wisteria's got those beautiful long blue... Are you telling me that's what's causing all this shit in my life? Everybody's got an idea here. This is like an old wives' corner on the show this morning. All right, try oregano. Here we go, DK. Try oregano oil, also Wainwright. All right, look, we're now going into deep into the... What do they call it? Boerenraad. Andy says, I've been told not to go for the booster because I have a heart and clotting issue since COVID. Yeah, don't, if you could possibly help it. Stay away from that shit. It's just not great. Tracy says, two close friends of mine both had a cancer misdiagnosis. Their markers for different types were through the roof, one in Australia, another in South Africa. Both their doctors said the COVID vaccine messes with your lymph and markers. How screwed up is that? Well, again, I don't know. But I'm annoyed that I took the damn thing. That's all. So if I've been sick because of the COVID vaccine, then I'll tell you. But I don't know for a fact. All right, let's get into it. Here's Ben. It is 6:30. Hey, Ben, what's up?
Hey, Gareth. Good. Happy Friday. Good to be here.
Yeah, happy Friday, Ben. So there's so much to get to this morning. I know you want to talk a little bit about nutrition and about how people have forgotten how to eat properly, which is always an interesting subject. I mean, you know, the one thing you can control is what you put into your body, right? So
yeah,
it would make sense that we spend a lot more time thinking about that, and not just from the point of view of things that taste nice, but things that are actually good for you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this is something that I find so interesting because there's like everything. I don't know what you're talking about prior to like me getting on here, but you know, we get fed so much bullshit like in news and by people with certain agendas, and food has become the most politicized thing probably in the last 50 years. And we just kind of forget about it because when we're kids, we grow up soft and we get told stuff and we believe it, right?
Absolutely.
And then what always happens is once things are ingrained, we just kind of regurgitate that until it becomes the norm. So I read this really interesting article. I'll get Dory to share it, but it's this whole thing about how food has been completely corrupted and the certain agendas around it. Now, I know like people often think that as soon as you speak out against what the status quo is, that you are conspiracy theorying.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely impossible to avoid nowadays that we eat absolute shit for all the kind of wrong reasons. And it all kind of started around the 70s. So the 70s was even before we were born, Gareth. So that was a long time ago.
Why are the 70s? Why are the 70s especially to blame?
Because the 70s, they sort of just really cottoned on to the fact that they can make money and they can deceive people. But it was kind of happening.
That was where Big Sugar got involved, right?
Big Sugar, Big Pharma, Big Food. Oh. But also that's like if you look at sort of things like, I don't know, heart disease, autoimmune disease, infertility. Right. There's a lot of sort of ills on society that were never really around. They were like kind of thereabouts because they existed. Then they just sort of ballooned, much like people and obesity from the 70s onwards.
Yeah.
So, you know, like we've often spoken a couple of times about that the guy who invented cornflakes, that Dr. Yeah. Kellogg guy.
Yes.
It was a raging pervert, like heavy religious kind of conservative
Well, he was maybe the opposite of a pervert, because he was so obsessed with everybody else not masturbating that he thought that that was an important thing that he had to fight for. He was like this lone crusader against masturbation, among other things.
No, but he was obviously a pervert because he hated masturbation so much, because obviously that's all he was doing. He was a pervert.
Probably.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. If you're that obsessed with anything, it's the chances are you're busy with it.
Yes. Yeah. So the seventh, what's that religious group, the Seventh Day somebody's?
Adventists.
Seventh Day Adventists. Mm-hmm. You know, they were heavy vegetarians, right? Because they thought that meat and animal products led to masturbation. So around 1910 onwards, they literally were preaching the fact that, you know, you would prevent the second coming of Christ because you just masturbate too much and you are just so impure. And what's causing these impurities is the fact that you're eating the flesh of other animals and you're dining on the blood of other animals. Oh, so wow. Kellogg, that pervert who was really involved there, he was part of this group. And their whole thing was to push vegetarianism, obviously corn flakes, corn, mm-hmm. And all that kind of bullshit. So they pushed that a lot because it was sinful to be a meat eater. So there's all these little things that kind of get dotted around that kind of all lead to where we are now. We're eating all this bullshit. But Procter and Gamble in the 20s worked out that they can create a much more affordable substitute for butter and lard. So they sort of did some really interesting things with cottonseed. And then they just basically found a whole bunch of inedible plants and turned them into seeds. And I'm sorry, so oils.
Yeah.
And then all the sort of processed food became part of that. But one of the most interesting things around this whole why we eat shit and why we were fed shit and information was when America went off the gold standard in the 70s, all of like the products sort of ballooned in price, right? Food prices. So Nixon was shitting himself, thinking, wow, food is so expensive. How are we going to get around this? So he employed this guy, I forget his name now, but basically he was like, well, if we become more processed and we sort of like, you know, take away the family farms and make them sort of bigger and more sort of process driven towards wheat and grains and those kind of things, we can feed people and it's not going to cost as much. So Nixon, of course,
and
was
we can,
like,
and
cool.
obviously we can make more of the stuff and sell it cheaper.
Exactly. So right. Then it was, I mean, it's like we never get taught this kind of stuff growing up. When we were kids, we're like, These are your nutritional guidelines. Not like, oh, fuck, we went off the gold standard, shit at the fans, now we're eating this bullshit grain stuff.
Well, I mean, and do you remember all the processed shit that you used to get in, like, school meals and even at the supermarkets? I mean, everything was there was processed cheese, there was processed kind of meats, you know, those loaves of meat. Everything was processed. Polony is still, like, a residual after effect of that era, right?
Absolutely. And the thing is, because America was always setting the trends to how things work, their bad habits then became the rest of the world's bad habits. Mm. And then their amazing fast food, sexy, well-marketed, branded food became the big thing, and it became the rest of the world's big thing. So we've just followed on the whole time. And while this happens, all these different diseases and illnesses are just absolutely skyrocketing as a result. Because they like our natural genes, what's left of them, were rooted in an age of good eating, healthy foods.
Well, that's when they came about. I mean, we're made up to a large degree of, you know, the DNA of the bacteria in our gut, for example.
Yes. And
they say that, you know, a very large percentage of what we call me, what you call yourself, is actually completely different organisms that are existing inside of your digestive tract, among other places, that comprise, they're definitely part of you. They are unique to your biome. You know, they're the kind of creatures that could only exist in Ben or in Gareth, and they're different creatures from one person to another. And these are part of who you are. So when you say me, it's not just you and your brain cells. It's actually, it includes those bacteria that live in your gut, and those have come about through thousands and thousands of years of evolution, where they've perfected a symbiosis between your system and theirs.
Yeah, it, all that kind of stuff makes sense, right? Because that's how we are. As humans, we've evolved and progressed. So we've taken all this like evolutionary nutritional wisdom, and because of a bunch of perverts and terrible politicians, we've thrown that all in the toilet in the interest of getting processed food to tick the box of nutrition. But like, that's, it's a really cool way of putting it, like evolutionary wisdom towards this. So like, as humans, we function like we were carnivores. But then to kind of really close the loop, so not only have they pushed all this grain and processed crap on us, now the second part of the story has to be the demonizing of the original foods that we functioned on. So then all this crap came out about like heart diseases because of red meat. But now more and more studies are coming out where they're saying like, inconclusive. It turns out this wasn't actually the problem.
So tell me, have you watched people who eat really bad stuff, whether it's at work or even if it's at a function that you're at where people are able to choose their own food from a buffet or whatever, you watch the kind of people that eat certain kinds of food, and you actually start to figure out why someone has got a certain kind of behavior going on, and it might have a lot to do with what they're eating.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to make sweeping comments because I don't know people's like individual nutritional needs and those kind of things. Some people, I've come across like individual situations where people don't eat meat and don't eat things because they've got like kind of very odd conditions that are more conducive to plant diets. And I've seen that and I've given that consideration. But the average people out there are generally always hungry. So why are average people always hungry? It's because they never eat anything that actually satiates them. So when you're eating all this processed bullshit, you're never really full. You're always just filling up. Mm. And that's another reason why the obesity pandemic is such a huge thing. Literally a huge thing is because none of the foods that you eat have enough nutrients to create like this whole satiation thing. Sorry, it's always a word I battle with. So when you look at people, and like, I don't want to be judgy, but I've gone through this. You know, I went vegan for 3 months. I've tried all this kind of stuff and it was the dumbest thing I've ever done. It just felt stupid. I never felt like I was really full. And you become anxious. So when you become anxious and you look at the elevated stress levels of modern day life, lack of sleep, constantly on screens, there's no surprise that people are so edgy nowadays. And the energy levels are all over the place. So people rely on coffee and they rely on sugar.
Right.
So it becomes complete and utter vicious circle. And because it's all sort of celebrated that it's good to be plant-based and all this kind of stuff, people are just going with it. And then they blame... But what they're doing is that they're blaming all the byproducts of how terrible these diets are. They're blaming it on, oh, I'm so stressed. My boss is horrible. Oh, the patriarchy. But actually, it's the bullshit food that you're eating.
All right. Well, Tabo says, so what should we eat? Vegetables?
No. Go back to eating animal products. Be happy with the fact that it's not the devil. It's not causing heart disease like people keep saying it is. Keep reading up about this kind of stuff. More and more things are coming out, which obviously the mainstream media is suppressing because who funds all their advertising campaigns and all these different things? Hmm. It's big pharmaceutical companies and big sort of like pharma companies.
I found this online yesterday, which I thought I'd show you. I knew you'd appreciate it and probably a lot of our listeners would too. So this is a supermarket in the UK, I think, and a bunch of vegans have gone and put down flowers on the meat products. It's kind of like it's almost like they're condoling the meat for the fact that it's dead, and they're putting down these flowers as like an offering of like, we're here with you, we feel your pain. Take a look here. These are vegans in a shop in the UK. There they are. They go up, they put the roses down on the meat section.
Surprise, surprise. He looks like a
walks away.
Look at these people. Look at the size of that woman.
Yeah.
Huge. Diabetes is not a joke. It's not a joke.
All right.
It's
so
like, it's.
They think they're doing a good thing there. They think that it is wrong to eat animals. They think that it's wrong that human beings have forced animals to be food. You know, so what do you say to that? And yes, those are the most unhealthy looking people I've seen in a long time that are standing there putting roses down. They're not going to make it through the rest of this week, let alone next month. But. Yeah. They feel morally superior about this.
Again, I don't have the science and I don't have the case studies, but if you look at the absolute loony bin leftists out there who are pouring milk out onto floors, putting roses by there and everything like someone else's problem, look at their diets. Actually, you know what? Like, it'll all come back to that. None of them will be eating good organic meat products. They'll all be eating some sort of vegan, vegetarian variant diet. I'll put everything I have on that. You know, I was on Hinge the other day, and I was chatting to this girl, like, really pleasant. She seemed smart, attractive.
And this hero in Australia?
Actually here, which made it even more rare.
Okay, well done.
And then she told me she was a vegan, and I said, well, sorry, I mean, that's a bit of a downer. I really hope you enjoy the rest of your day. She's like, oh, does that mean you're not going to talk anymore? I was like, no.
Really?
Absolutely not, because she's making horrific choices in her life. So what else is she doing?
So you drew a line.
I had to, Gareth, and it was really sad. I actually thought she was quite nice.
Jeez, Ben, your standards are cutting off your nose despite your face.
No, but it's not, because my face is fine with that kind of stuff. It's just that I'm so tired of all this bullshit, and I'm so tired of the fact that people are being manipulated. And it's not about, like, going, oh, I'm better than you and as in them kind of thing. There are very nice, good people out there who are being led astray by all this shit, and people who don't like confrontation just go with the flow.
Right, and the more that these... Can I ask you what's wrong with Prince Charles's hands? Because there's something from a health point of view. Just take a look at these. This is a picture of Prince Charles's hands, right? And you tell me what the hell's wrong with the guy? What's wrong with the guy's fingers? And I mentioned this the other day. I think it was to Pumi or to Lebang or one of them, and they just laughed. But I mean, there's something wrong there, right? Circulation problems.
Well, it's a bit of age, I guess. You know, maybe he hasn't been in the sun enough. And I think because of his plant-based ways, his body's screaming out for meat, and his fingers are representing that.
I don't know. Is he also vegetarian?
He's massive into that stuff, Gareth. He's all about the World Economic Forum reset, we must eat plants bullshit.
I'm pretty sure he just says he's into those things, but he eats meat. I don't think that he's a vegetarian. Is he? Maybe if somebody knows for sure, that would be interesting.
I think Charles, vegetarians for the first team.
All right,
because he's had fuck all to do, Gareth. He's waited 50 years to become king. So, you know, obviously he's, you know, Camilla's gone out to pasture a while ago. So he fixates over bullshit like this.
All right. Well, what is the World Economic Forum's plan? They want us to eat plants and insects, right? Because, I mean, I put that fake diet up here, which we know is bullshit, but it's still hilarious because they want us to do intermittent fasting, alternative proteins, which means insects and lab-grown meat, micro livestock, which is again the insect, synthetic nutrients, and then seed oils. Those are all the worst things you could possibly eat. And I know that's a fake news thing, but I mean it's not that far. It's not that far from what they're actually telling us that they want us to do.
Not that far at all. What they're doing is they're telling us a lot of what they show there within like misleading paragraphs of text. They haven't gone to the succinct infographic section of it yet, but that's pretty much where it comes from. And you've always got to look back to where it all gets controlled from, right? So Joe Biden has passed, for as long as he's been a pseudo politician, he's passed laws that really give state subsidies towards these farmers who are pushing these seed oil, vegetable oil bullshits out there, because that's where the lobbyists are. So agricultural groups,
right?
You know, going back to those puritanical people, they were the ones who actually wrote the nutritional guidelines. Then all the money from the big farmer kind of people was pushing agricultural groups to push this as well. Because you have unhealthy people, you have lots of customers for medication.
Right, but you're making me paranoid. So what can I buy and where can I go to buy good food? Because do we have a problem in South Africa yet, or are we not there at that stage where people are putting like bullshit onto the shelves? I told you I got fooled once by a soy protein thing that I thought was meat. And I made the mistake once, but now I'm a little bit more careful. But if you buy meat in a South African supermarket, you should be all right, huh?
You should be. I mean, again, there's different levels to it, and obviously, like, cost comes into it. But I really believe that Beyond Meat is a crime against humanity. It really is.
Aren't they going bankrupt? I mean, I saw a story just yesterday in the news about how all the major buyers of Beyond Meat products are starting to cancel their contracts because they've realized that people don't like this stuff and they're not interested in eating it.
Yeah, I mean, Gareth, to quote a financial term, they're seeing their puss at the moment because people really are wising up. You're right. You know, the whole thing about Beyond Meat is that their business model, which they got investment on, I know these things about how you get capital. So they went to all the big fast food companies and said, guys, the next big thing is Beyond Meat. And they were like, fuck, that's genius. It's like, it's exactly what we feed people. But then when McDonald's and Burger King and all these companies start going, hang on a second, people don't like this shit. We're not going to take your 17 tons of soy, like absolute nothingness. And KFC, you know, they were going to have like Beyond Chicken Wings or some bullshit. But nobody wanted them. They tested badly. So now Beyond Meat, this company, they're literally, they're going through all their money and they haven't got people to buy their stuff. So
Congo Chris says, high fructose corn syrup is responsible and it's in everything. Ugh, that sounds disgusting.
That's one of the big things. I mean, like I've just been reading articles. Like I'm not a doctor. I just believe that where there's bullshit out there, it starts to smell after a while.
But also, and I mean, Ben, like the one thing you can take personal responsibility for is what you fucking eat. I mean, this is not complicated. So you don't have to be a nutritionist. You don't have to be a doctor who's got 7 doctorates in, you know, food science to be able to work out what you should and shouldn't eat. No one knows that better than you. And if you decide that you're going to eat a certain kind of food, and you've decided that that's what makes you feel better, and you've proven it to yourself by doing experiments like you did for 3 months where you were a vegan or a vegetarian, then good for you. Do it. Who the hell else, including, you know, every doctor in the world, is in a position to tell you anything better? You should be able to decide what you put into your mouth. And frankly, there's no one else to watch to make sure that you're doing it anyway. So you may as well believe in what you're doing. Sanele says, I don't rely on coffee. I take it willingly. I'm happy with whatever consequences it comes with. I do so with real meat and real milk and everything else that I like. Vegans can go fly a kite. I suppose that's how a lot of people are also feeling. But you know, you don't want to be one of these people who's rebelling against this stuff just because there's this nonsense going on at the moment. That we should be eating X, Y, and Z. I mean, who cares what the politicians tell us? I'm not going to listen to them, and you're not going to listen to them, and most of our listeners aren't going to listen to them. Carl says, the conversation has come full circle. You started off with masturbation, and now you're onto seed oil. Yeah.
They go hand in hand. Let's be
honest. Very nice. Okay, beef, bacon, butter, and eggs, unless you're like me and you have to have carbs, says Beth. Do you have to have carbs? Well,
you do. You do have to have carbs, but carbs aren't like, I don't know, like pasta all the time or white bread rolls. Like the carbs are also good. You can get good fiber. You need fiber in your diet. But, you know, again, like the villainizing of these things, and this is what it comes down to. Eat whatever the fuck you want. Do whatever you want. But the villainizing of the stuff and the misinformation. So I can't deal with that. Like, Tim Noakes was absolutely vilified for his views on things. Sure, he told a woman not to breastfeed on something, something, whatever. And then he got hung up on that.
Yeah.
But he's been vilified so heavily when suddenly all these little studies are now coming out to show that what he was talking about was actually pretty much true. So, I mean, Gareth, like you know, like in your career, the mainstream media can get great hits about shaming you on stuff that never happened. And then what happens? If they ever do an apology, the shame is this big. The apology is
That for a fact. Yeah,
exactly. This is exactly what's happening with these food people. They were setting fire to how bad meat was and how bad animal products were.
Mm.
These studies are coming back now, and they're not saying anything. It's like, oh well, you got us.
Well, there's so much stuff that is coming to the fore now. I mean, even if you just go back around, you know, COVID and 2 years ago and what we were being told then and how much of that is coming through now is nonsense. And how many of those decisions that people made were nonsense. And people who said it at the time were public enemy. Like you were shut down. You basically were banned from social media. And if you said anything, you were conspiracy theorist, crackpot lunatic like Alex Jones. Like no one took you seriously. You know, you were called every possible horrible, stupid, and not credible thing that they could think of to call you, because they realized like this is the only way to shut down any discussion, so that no one has anything to go on except what we say, the official version. And now, of course, we know it's nonsense. So I hope we've learned a lesson as a species. I hope we've learned that this is not how we should manage a crisis. And this is not how we should manage things that affect us in our day-to-day lives, like our health, like our nutrition, like diseases that are going to come and go. We're never going to have a point in the future of humanity where we don't have diseases, where we don't have, you know, terrible food choices. Those are going to be options that are always going to be available to us, right?
No, so true. Absolutely true, Gareth. But we all know that people don't always like the truth. They'll just go with the flow. And that's fine. But I think we just need better flows in life.
Can I ask you to explain this Elton Yankees thing to me? Because, before we finish the show for this hour, because we've been talking about nutrition and stuff, which is interesting. But what is the Elton Yankees story? What is this all about? And where does it come from? I don't know anything about this, Ben. Start from the beginning like I'm an idiot, because I am.
Okay, so the Springboks have a guy called Elton Yankees. He lives a charmed life. He shouldn't be there on merit. I think he's quite an average player. The Springboks have a need for nutrition because they're a high-performing rugby team. Okay. They have a hot nutritionist. This girl is beautiful. She's very, very attractive. So Elton, obviously with his, again, this is more my opinion, maybe what's going on here. Elton, I think with his charmed life, feels quite entitled to do whatever he wants. You know, obviously he's not a star player, so maybe the pressure and the discipline and the focus isn't there. So it's been alleged that he's been having extramarital affairs with the really attractive, beautiful dietitian of the Springboks, which goes against the whole code of being a Springbok, because when you're a Springbok, you've got to put the team's values and desires ahead of your own. And Elton didn't. So they were caught having separate interludes.
Has he been porking her?
Yeah, Gareth, it seems that he has been porking her in guest houses outside of the Bok camp in Mbombela.
About Elton is, okay.
He was also like really sexually harassing someone on a plane recently, which they managed to put under the carpet quite quickly.
I remember but now
two strikes. He got sent home from the Bok camp because the Springboks are playing Argentina this weekend. And a couple of questions come up around this. Firstly, when the Boks hire a new dietitian, I reckon it's going to be a man or a very handsome woman at that.
A handsome woman.
And then I suppose, you know, another question is this a Bishop's water polo scenario? Because we all know these sports people can't keep it in their pants. They are the biggest raging man whores going.
Yeah.
And that's, sorry if I'm talking ill of people's heroes.
Sorry, I just want to put a picture of her up on the screen so I can be sure that we're talking about the same person. So this is the hot nutritionist. And I think there she is, right? Is that her?
Yeah, that's her.
Okay, no, she's attractive.
And that's Elton.
I like
her. She's very attractive.
All right.
And by all means,
and Elton Yankees has been porking her.
Yeah, it would seem so. So there's a couple of things. I mean, firstly, I'm never disappointed when athletes do this because this is what they do.
Yeah.
If you think that they're better than this, then you're a child. But it's just sad because now this woman's career, I mean, look, takes two to tango. But this woman's career is pretty fucked now, let's be honest. And how things always work is the woman always gets villainized.
She doesn't deserve, she doesn't deserve to be taken down for this. He does.
Yeah, because he's taken the team for a giant puss here as well.
Yeah.
I just think it's with the amount of young talent coming up, it's great that Elton maybe gets the flick. He was always described as an misunderstood talent, mercurial talent, but I just don't think it was that much value. And, you know, if you're going to pork the dietitian, like, you're jeopardizing the entire team's vibe here. I mean, I can get, like, you're a professional rugby player. If you're going to throw it around a bit, there's people all over the place. You know, there's a lot of girls with daddy issues who want to bang the Springbok.
Yeah, of course.
Why bang the dietitian? That's just...
Yeah. Somebody says, Carl says, there's apparently a kid who bust them because he heard the sex noises coming from the room. Very amateurish.
Yeah.
Is that
true?
Yeah,
so that's another thing that's come out. Massive sex noises, which would suggest the porking, Gareth. you imagine being a kid and you're in a guest house in Mbombela.
Porking.
Just minding around. And then there's a Springbok porking the dietitian next door to you. Yeah. Life goes on.
Wow, that's fantastic. What a story. That made rugby interesting for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's also made some amazing memes this whole week because Elton played against Wales this year. He didn't score much. Now people are saying he finally scores and he gets sent home. There's been so many good memes. But I always feel for the woman in a situation like this. Like, where is she going to go? Where is she going to go work? after this. She'll always be known as the woman that Elton porked.
Yeah, that's not nice. That's not fair at all. See, this is where the world. I don't believe in the patriarchy and, you know, this gender imbalance and the glass ceiling that carries on forevermore. And we know that there are areas that that men are given preferential treatment and areas where women are given preferential treatment. But this is one where I can kind of sympathize, and I think you do as well. Well, you know, the minute anything sexual goes on, it's always the guy who gets away with it. Always.
Yeah, but I just think Elton's just had too many strikes now. And again, like, consenting adults, go ahead. But when you, sure, in the capacity of where you work.
No, you got to be careful.
They're a very public thing. So as much as I don't care about what Elton does in his private life, I'm sure it's not that interesting. He has porked her in the capacity of being a Springbok.
Yeah.
And that's it's not just about them anymore.
Can I play you a clip of someone and you try and translate what this woman's saying from Sky TV? Because my favorite thing, sure, since the Queen died, my favorite thing has been to watch all these people that they interview on the street in Britain. The most awful, 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 awful people. I mean, if I'd known, I would have asked the Queen to stay alive just so we wouldn't have to see these fucking people on TV. The most terrible people I've ever seen in my life, and they come out of the woodwork, and then Sky and BBC and all these other, they cannot help themselves. They love interviewing the most inarticulate, stupid, awful, dreadful, ugly people they can find on the side of the road. Tell me what this one's saying, all right? Are you ready?
It's my house, and as I pass my house, my heart just like sank, like, there's just no feeling I felt before. Like, you shouldn't live seeing a coffin that small, really.
Olivia was in the same.
So I saw a clip of some woman went and she saw the coffin 7 times. She spent the entire day just going in a loop, like it was like a theme park ride.
Oh my God. Unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. You know, just like we can tease the British. We can say, oh, well, they've got this, you know, this interesting way of saying goodbye and saying hello and doing all the ceremony and everything else. Some of it's very charming and lovely. But my God, they also have this dark side to them where they are the most hokey and silly and childish creatures that walk the planet. And when you send these news crews in to interview them, you're just asking for trouble. You really are. These are people who should never be on television for any reason. Anyway, we'll get back with that and a whole lot more, including Skulk Burger and plenty of other good stuff to talk about this Friday morning. All of that and more.
Skulk Bezaden.
Yes.
Skulk Bezaden. Your mind's clearly in the rugby here, Gareth.
What did I say?
You said Skulk Burger.
Oh, wow. That's hilarious. Sorry, I mean Skulk Bezaden. Oh, God. I didn't even hear myself. It's because I was thinking of Elton and the porking. Sorry.
CliffCentral.com